beloved, and welcome back to another episode. I am Maggie.
And I'm Meridia.
And this is Rename Beloved Podcast, where we talk about Christian theology, faith, and living it out in the 21st century. In this episode, I'm super excited because we are going to be talking about nature and scripture. And I'm a plant nerd. I just am obsessed with plants. I love house plants. I'm getting into gardening and things this year, more outside stuff, but always love flowers and stuff like that. But one thing that I feel like God has allowed me to do is connect with him more and more through over the years through his creation. And of course, we know that God is the creator. And so it's natural that we would understand and get glimpses of his character through his creation. But I just wanted to dial in today with Meridia and talk about the ways in which nature has been used in scripture to help us understand. So really that for me is the big take home point, is that God in his wisdom, Jesus, even in his parables, didn't use these high, lofty ideas and symbolisms and things that were above us. God uses examples of things that we can see and touch and experience and understand because we're part of creation too. So I just think that that's beautiful. Some of the areas of the deepest theology, God uses metaphors of nature and parables of nature to explain the truths of his character to us. So I'm just super excited. I have been, you know, nerding out about this to Meridia for a while now, because I truly do just feel like I connect with so many truths about God by experiencing his creation and being a steward of his creation. So with that being said, we're going to dive in today, and this is going to be a two-part episode. So very excited. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about sowing, growing, and things like this. And then in the next part, we're going to talk a little bit more about fruits of the Spirit and being grafted in and themes like that. So Meridia, I just want to hear from you. I feel like I could go on for hours and hours about what makes me excited about this topic, but I want to start with, when, you know, we talk about nature and scripture, what impressions that gives for you? Where do you start when you think about this subject?
This is a topic that I love. So I'm a hiker. I love to hike and I love to kayak. Nature and scripture is something that I also love to connect and draw the correlations to. I think Paul really encapsulates this in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So I think that in the Bible, we're presented with this view, even from the very early portions of scripture. It's speculated, the book of Job, the time that book was written is a little bit, but based on how long Job lived, we can estimate that he was living around the same time as Abraham. Because they're sort of shortening the lives. Like, you know, at first you have Adam living almost 1,000 years, Methuselah almost making it to 1,000. But God's like, I'm not going to bear with people for so long. And
ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I am very grateful that he shortened our lifespan.
Honestly, same.
Yeah, 900 years is a lot.
With these knees? These knees would never.
No, they must have had better bodies.
Better diets.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. And
Job.
Yeah, so Job lived during the age of like the Abrahamic, but he's a Gentile. Mm. Job is not, he's from the land of Uz. We really don't know much about him as far as his origins go, but he's not a Jew. Of that we're certain. So we see that God reveals himself in the book of Jonah. He sends a prophet to Assyria. Well, Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire, but anyways. So eternally we see that God is somehow able to hold everyone accountable to this moral standard. So how does God reveal himself to people? And we see that he does this. He's the creator of everything. So one of our continuous human faults is that we will worship the creation instead of the creator.
Yeah.
Presently, you'll hear people use universe and God interchangeably. Mm-hmm. But we know from all of the scientific knowledge we have and the Bible, most importantly, the Bible, long science is behind just catching up to God. But the universe has a beginning. It started at mm-hmm. some point. God is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, God is not the universe, but the universe is a creation.
Right.
And so... But all the things in nature that teach us about God, from the way that God chooses to create diamonds and oil and other precious metals, mm-hmm. He puts them under pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does to us in our lives.
Right.
I think one of the most powerful motifs in scripture that runs as a theme from Genesis to pretty close to Revelation. I would like to start it off, though, the first time Jesus... the Lord mentioned seed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the first time, but this is the first time that he makes the analogy of human beings as seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a really powerful way. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. That's known as the Protoevangelion, which is the first proclamation of the gospel. This is God for the first time, right in Genesis chapter 3, basically as soon as we fall, he begins to start this motif of us being like the seeds, which is kind of interesting, but I like to skip ahead to where Jesus, all the way to Matthew, where Jesus is going to give a little bit more revelation on seed. This is at the end of the tares and the wheat parable,
mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to liken God spreading seed, all this good seed into the world, and then Satan coming along and sowing all these tares. And he said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So that just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age."
Hmm.
So it's this greater motif of us human beings constantly struggling against the good work, all the good that God said. God's creation is good. There's nothing... wrong with loving the creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful creation. I'm so grateful for it. But we really get things mixed around with that. And so the seed motif goes really deep and connects, I think, really well to my mini love, but your major love affair with plants.
I do have a major love affair with plants, and I love the connections you've made. And I agree 100%. It's very humbling to... First of all, to realize that, yeah, science is just now catching up with what the Bible says about creation, about what is true about creation. I was telling Meridia off camera, but I'll just say really quickly, like, I'm really interested in biblical archaeology, mm-hmm. the fact that they continue to find and unearth like structures that prove yes. what's being said in the Bible is true. So we'll do a different episode on that. But when I think about this topic in particular, I think about in Genesis when God created. And then he created man and woman and he put them in a garden. Like that is my kind of God. I can just imagine God tarrying with them in the garden, showing them all the beautiful things that he's created for them to enjoy and to consume or just to experience. And just this peaceful, overwhelming sense of completion and perfection and unity among all the things that God has created. And so it's just humbling to understand that we are also part of the creation, but obviously God has a purpose for us and wants to do something through us to continue to serve the creation. But so I just say that because I am really humbled by being a steward of God's creation. And I do. I feel like I learned so much about God and about myself through gardening, through growing like my house plants and things like that. So one thing though that comes to mind immediately is how, first of all, God is the master gardener. We are simply fellow workers in the kingdom. And that actually, I want to start with that because I think the sense of humility is really important when we think about and one thing about nature too is as much as you want to try to manipulate it, it's not going to allow that. You have to take, you know, a step back and allow the resilience of nature, the independence of nature to just do what it will. So it's a good reminder that ultimately God is the one that gives the increase. So I want to go really quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in verse 5 here. And this is Paul really talking about the humility that his church needs to have when it's talking about, do we follow Apollos or do we follow Paul? And he's saying, hold on a second. You don't understand. It's not the human beings that give the word, that offer, that plant that seed that you need to be revering. It's God that gives the increase. So he says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Mm-hmm. And I just love that so much because I think there's so many things going through my mind. Of course, it's us as the seed and the promise that God gave to Abraham. And it's also God's word as the seed that's being planted. And we're going to get into this a little bit more in the next episode on the fruit of the Spirit. But when we allow that seed of God's word and God's purpose to be really imprinted on our hearts and we allow that process to take place, what ends up happening is just a beautiful thing. And I wanted to talk a little bit and nerd out a little bit about seeds because, so like people, you know, seeds have all, and plants in general, they're unique, resilient. They take all different kinds of conditions to be happy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so true also of people. And the awesome thing about God is God knows exactly what it is about you that's going to create growth. So some seeds need a lot of moisture. Some of them need dryness. Some of them need darkness, like complete darkness. Some of them need light. But I just think that that's awesome because no matter what it is, God, because he created us, he knows what we need as well to then kind of produce. And the other thing that I love is that God's creation and God's process and God's plan doesn't always make sense to us. It's not always what would be logical or make sense to us. So when I was looking at this, I noticed there's an example of a seed that was found in Israel that it took 2,000 years. It was dormant for 2,000 years. And then it sprouted into what was a previously like virtually extinct date palm tree. So it was found actually at a place called Masada, which was basically like a big fortress built on a big towering mountain by King Herod. And so what ultimately happened, they think, is that somebody was eating these date palms and spitting the seeds out. And then 2,000 years later, they found the seeds, were able to like get them to grow. And so it's just amazing. So I say that just to highlight the resiliency of nature, the power in what God has created. There's such a wisdom in realizing that if things aren't happening according to our time, if we think we might be sowing seeds and we're not seeing the growth, just be patient. That's the other thing that nature teaches us. Just be patient that what we're not seeing, there could be things happening under the surface or there just could be that potential there, but it's not the right time. So I feel like I'm going in a million different directions. So I will stop there. But I just thought that was amazing. And I think that's the same way that sometimes happens with us in our lives or in our hearts or in the hearts of others. Like we don't quite understand why we're not seeing growth or why things aren't happening. But God's timing, ultimately, things are working out.
No, that's such a beautiful point. it brings up a few things for me. First of all, God's generosity in Genesis. He creates man and woman, and then he gives us dominion over the earth. I love that you said that you felt privileged to be able to interact with the creation, or I'm paraphrasing that, but like privileged to be able to be a part of it. And I think that really is beautiful, because I think that's one of the most generous things in the Bible. God, who's master and creator of all, needs nothing from us. He does not need our help. Decides to create man and woman and then give them dominion, give them something to do, give them purpose, allow us to reign over his creation. And we don't do such a good job with that. We fail in our effort to steward what God has given us. Mm-hmm. However, there is this aspect of nature where God is teaching us so much mm-hmm. about himself. You also mentioned the uncontrollability of nature. Mm-hmm. That makes me, and the importance of patience that nature teaches us. I think of the Grand Canyon when you were saying mm-hmm. that. A river cut the Grand Canyon. Most of our massive rock structures, things like that, these were done by water erosion slowly over thousands of years to give us this beautiful creation that we lay our eyes on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it does take time. Everything, even diamonds, yeah, it takes pressure, but it also takes time. Mm-hmm. You don't just get to be under the pressure for a minute.
Right.
Get your finger smashed in the door. Oh, no. It is a long process of being under pressure. There's a song, and you know it, So Will I, right? I really like it. There's a line in that song that's like, I can see your heart in everything you've made.
Yeah.
And God reveals his faithfulness through the sun, even, right? The sun goes down and it's dark. And if you live somewhere like Alaska, it may be gone for a long time, mm-hmm. but you can count on it to come again.
Yeah.
Even when things are, you know, days are different lengths, nights not always the same amount of time, but we don't worry, not anymore, because we can just count on it. Mm-hmm. And that reveals so much about our creator.
Right.
And in different seasons, the days are longer and shorter. And that all has purpose to the plant life, to all of these things that are going back to the wisdom of Job. That's one of the things Job is humbled by and learns, right? Mm-hmm. God has a lot of things. He's not overwhelmed. He's not stressed out. He's not tired, but he's doing a lot. Mm-hmm. Orienting stars in the sky, aligning planetary arrangements. All of this is within God's, like, this is all in a day's work to the Lord, really. And so there's just so much we can't understand mm-hmm. and so much we overestimate, I believe, what we even should understand.
Right. I think that's when I was first talking with you about this, we were on the phone. I was telling you, I was like, excited about spring.
Yes.
And it's just that hope that I had in that moment when it was like this cold winter day that eventually spring would come. And I feel like that kind of hope and that trust that we know what to expect, because God is a God of order. You know, we know this. And so we know what to expect from our God and our creator. In that conversation about being excited for spring, I was telling Meridia about the winter sowing I was doing of all these seeds. And I hadn't realized, so I'm in Ohio, for any of you gardeners, it's zone 5B. So that just means it's pretty cold. Like most of the winter, it's like truly cold most of the winter. And so I won't go on too long about this, but for any of you who are interested in gardening or flowers or anything like that, and you haven't heard of this, it's awesome. So basically the idea is that you can take seeds that are either native to the area or perennial, meaning they would come back every year regardless, mm-hmm. and you can put them outside in the dead of winter. And then basically you leave them there, and when the seeds are ready, they kind of have this built-in understanding of what's going on, the length of the days and the temperatures and everything like that. When they're ready, they will just grow. And for any of us who have ever tried to start little seedlings inside in the middle of winter or at the end of, you know, winter, early spring, we know just how kind of tricky that can be, trying to force a plant to grow when it's not in its ideal conditions. But I thought that was so neat. And so I've had great success with my winter sowing. I've had a lot of things come up. They've just been sitting on the back porch through the harshest cold. They get snowed on, they get rained on. But I just love that, that with the seeds, the nature, the plants just know what to do. And so there's this idea that you just kind of set it and forget it, and you hope and trust that the days are going to get longer, the temperature is going to get warmer, and that something is going to happen there. Some new life is going to come from those. I use milk jugs. If I didn't say that already, I don't think I did. You set them out in milk jugs, and then the next thing you know, in the next couple of weeks and months, you have life in those, what were cold frozen milk jugs. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so awesome. And it's things like that that get me excited about nature, get me excited about new life, seeing new life, you know, grow. And we're also going to do an episode on Easter, you know, soon here as we approach Easter. But all these themes for me are so intertwined in my mind that it's hard for me to separate them. And just the joy that I get from seeing things grow and knowing that I can plant that seed and it's like planting like a little bit of hope. I know that sounds corny, but it is. It's like planting a little bit of hope that one day we will see the life spring from that. And it's like, whatever happens under that soil, whatever happens in there, I can do my part and just hope for the best. And it's that hope and trust and patience that really the gardening evokes for me, and brings me always continuously back to God. Because in the same way, when we want to grow in Christ, we need the same types of things. We need patience, we need time, we need, you know, a strong foundation, we need strong roots in our soil, so to speak. Yeah. We need the food, the nutrients and the nourishments. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. We need sunlight, or the Son of God, as I would say. You know, we know that in Jesus is the one who, there is no darkness in him. He is the light of the world. And of course, the water, like any plant needs water, but God is our source of sustenance and nourishment. And it sounds kind of corny, but hydration, like he's our life source. So I just feel like in the same way that we see creation, what we see creation needing for growth, these are the same things that we need to fulfill our part in God's kingdom. And for me, though, it all starts with that seed that's the word of God, and allowing that, giving that space and time in our lives, attending to that, and allowing that to grow something like a new life in us, a new heart in us.
Amen. No, that's so beautiful. And I mean, how can we talk about nature and scripture and not give the, and seeds and plants, and not give Jesus's absolutely, maybe this is Jesus's most famous parable, the parable of the sower?
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's up there. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. When you're talking about the importance of plants having the right, like right now I'm tragically fighting for one of my plants' lives. We're in a battle. But part of it is because it doesn't have the right soil. Mm-hmm. When I went out and I bought it from the plant store and then I did research on the plant, it's not in the right environment. Mm-hmm. It can't thrive there. Just as the Bible teaches us that bad character corrupts, or bad company corrupts good morals. Mm. So as a Christian, sometimes you have to separate yourself from the things of the world.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm just thinking about a plant that gets like infested with like little bugs or little spider mites, yeah, or like fungus. I mean, these things travel really quick. Mm-hmm. Just like, yeah, sorry.
No, sin is contagious. That's another, yeah, that's a lesson from Leviticus there. I mean, we could get into that, mm-hmm, at depth, but yeah. Even Paul goes into not associating, you know, yourself with people who claim to be Christian and don't act Christian. Mm. It's, you know, Jesus does not come down. And that's not to say that Jesus never winked at sin. He was never okay with it, but he doesn't come down on this with the same force, mm-hmm, on lay people as he does the teachers of the, mm-hmm, time. He comes down with totally different force on them, and his emphasis is different because the expectation is different. Mm-hmm. But there's so much there. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think it's so important that we as believers, because we're people, and even though the parable of the sower is talking about inanimate objects like the earth, like seeds, like things that don't have any choice, we do have an impact on whether we're going to be good soil. Am, right, I going to provide, you know, am I going to crucify my flesh, mm-hmm, daily, and take up my cross? That's a choice that we make. And if we allow, as the parable says, the thorns to grow up, that's the love of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's, oh, I love Jesus, but I'm really into fornication, but I'm really into partying, but you know, the list goes on and on and on, whatever it could be for you. It could be anything, but simple idolatry, but I really like money.
Mm-hmm.
The rich young ruler, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so much there. And I love the idea of winter sowing, because it really connects to the idea in the Psalms of the fact that at times we will have to sow in tears,
mm-hmm,
but we will weep in rejoicing. And even when it seems like not the ideal time, always we're expected to sow,
mm-hmm,
because God provides the increase. We don't rely on ourselves. We don't rely on the environment. None of that. This is God's world. So
yeah. As you were talking, it made me think of 1 Peter. I'm in chapter 1, starting at verse 22, where he's talking about how we are called to be holy. And much like in the parable of the sower and the seeds, not all the seeds make it. I mean, you have to be intentional, I feel, as a Christian, especially today. You have to be intentional about your environment, about what you're allowing. Mm-hmm. But one thing that brings me encouragement is 1 Peter, I'll start in 22. He's talking about being holy. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever.
Mm.
And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And I just find that encouraging. I'm just thinking of so many different things. But for me, of all this talk about plants and seeds and all that, for me, that's the central truth, that the word of God is that seed that we have to let it take root in our heart.
Mm.
We have to let any growth, any fruit, any pruning that needs to be done be centered around that imperishable seed that will never fail, regardless of whether we want to participate or not. And Lord willing, we will all, you know, accept that call of Jesus and live into that for a life more abundantly. But you do have to be intentional and understanding that, like you've said, what we do in this life is so much bigger than us.
Yeah.
What we allow God to do and the growth that we allow or the pruning that we allow, it's so much bigger. And the purpose is always so much bigger than just us. And of course, the glory will be to God regardless, because that imperishable seed will endure forever. Our lives are fleeting and passing away. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that house plants, for example, or plants outside, but I have most experience with house plants. Sometimes, no matter what you do, you're not going to make it happy. Unfortunately, you could be really attached to that plant for whatever reason. It may die because that's the circle of life. And that's one of the hard truths. And I know right now we're just talking about plants, but the reality is that all of creation has a time to die. And in a sense, being able to just accept that, whether it's the leaf that drops, yellows, and falls on the floor and is dead, or it's the whole plant that one day just, you don't understand it, you don't expect it, but it's just dead for, and you tried your best to do everything you could. But just this idea of like the circle of life and being able to accept the change, accept the death, and sometimes then the rebirth, or the death from the plant that turns into the compost that gives the life to the next one. I mean, all of these things to me are very much intertwined, but that word, the gospel, the word of the Lord, God's book, the Holy Scriptures, though that endures forever. So it's like this thread to me is how I kind of see it just woven throughout creation. That is just pure capital T truth that brings me a lot of hope, that I don't have to cling to what is fleeting. I don't have to cling to creation. I don't even have to cling to my own life. I just have to allow God's word to take root in my heart, let the growth that will come of it come in my time. And the rest of it is up to God, of the fruit. And maybe, you know, Lord willing, it's going to be the fruit that continues to, you know, sow more seeds and all these things. Like that's our hope, you know, of course, as Christians. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, so much of it is out of our control. But our obedience, or keeping ourselves in the right environment, giving ourselves the right soil, the right foundation, continuing to feed ourselves, like when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 3, that we need to feed ourselves solid food as growing Christians. Like our plants need fertilizer. We need solid food. We need to continue to get in our word. We need to continue, which real quick, and then I'm going to put it back to you. I want to go to Jeremiah because I love this verse. I'm in Jeremiah 17 and I'm in 17 verse 6. And it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness and an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I just love that because it just goes to show and kind of reminds me that God is the sustainer. He's the creator and the sustainer of all things. Just like the plant that you throw in the corner. I've had this happen. I threw it in the corner. I didn't water it. I thought it was dead. Actually, this plant right here, you guys, I had it in the corner of my kitchen. I thought it was dead. It was one little stump, one little like twig looking thing, no leaf or anything. And I thought, I'm just going to wait till it warms up so I can throw it outside. One day I looked and I saw the littlest, faintest little plump, little bit of green. And I thought, that thing's alive. And it didn't make any sense to me. I had counted it for a loss. Mm. But in that same way, how I don't understand that and how that worked out, in the same way, we don't always understand what's going on in our lives. But God understands. He created all things. He can sustain and provide and nourish. So I just want to encourage you guys to let that seed of God's word get rooted into your life. Let God grow you up in the word of in Christ. And just buckle in. Just jump in and hang on. Because God's got a great plan for you. And only your creator knows exactly what you need.
So beautifully said. It is difficult, if not impossible, for a human being to know. We can't know our purpose, right? Like, we don't know our purpose. That's essentially the entire field of philosophy. No, we've not figured that out. And I think that as a society right now, my mom used to always call like use the word heathen. And I never knew what a heathen is. But a heathen is simply a person who believes that the purpose of life is pursuing pleasure. Mm. So we are a heathenistic society.
Oh, yeah.
Where we have dictated, because life is too big for us as human beings to understand. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things. God is the creator of the whole universe. So if I went to an astrophysicist at NASA and I said, hey, explain to me how that rocket works. And then they explained it to you. What do you really expect to understand of that?
Right.
Right. Or like, you know, the average person, I know a little something about cars, but the average person, right, might, if their car breaks down and they pop the hood, what are they looking for? Right. They don't even know.
Yeah.
That is our perspective in the world as human beings. What are you even looking for? What would make this all remedy and make sense to you? Mm-hmm. What's the one explanation? I would contend that there's not one. Mm-hmm. And there's so much power in having and surrendering to God. Mm-hmm. And admitting our own ignorance.
That's what I was going to say. I was thinking ignorance. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's straight up ignorance. And we just have to humble ourselves in that sense. And there's so much that can be gleaned, you know, when the tree planted on rocks, like sometimes on a hike, if you ever are out and about and you notice a tree, it could be a tiny little tree. Just, I mean, tiny. I remember I was hiking with some girls and somebody fell, right? And they reached up to this little tiny tree that couldn't have been more than 2 inches wide in diameter, but she grabbed it and it didn't move an inch. And then we all looked down and the roots of this tree were on a rock. Hmm. I've seen whole giant trees fall.
Oh, big ones.
Right, at much less. But what are they rooted on? What are they grounded on? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we know that, like, when you're building a house, the foundation takes forever. Mm-hmm. It's the longest part. And for what? It's nothing that you see. We all care about what you can see, but it's what you can't see. It's what you can't see that really determines the structural integrity of what we can see.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And I love what you said about humility, because when it comes to like plants and seedlings, that's what's on my brain, because right now as we're filming this, it's the beginning of March and I'm starting like seedlings and stuff inside for the summer garden. So I'm thinking about how seedlings need resistance. They need wind and like air movement that really shakes them pretty, you know, violently for their little puny size, but that's what they need to be resilient and to grow those strong roots. And in the same way in our lives, sometimes we need a little bit of like shaking up a little bit for the environment to get a little bit uncomfortable for us to really dig in. Yeah. And grow those roots and lean into God even more. I know I experienced that like really intensely when my dad was in the hospital, and I talked about that in my testimony. That was like the winds were rocking and the boat was shaking, and I was just like, that's what, you know, really invited me to dig into my faith, I think, more than anything for a really long time. And I love also that you talk about our ignorance, because we don't always understand, of course, why anything happens. But another really important process in growing, whether it's a tree or just a house plant or whatever it is, or seedling, it's pruning it. Like if you notice there are certain branches or leaves that are not ultimately benefiting the entire plant, maybe they're just hanging too low, maybe they're too old, they're not serving it anymore, you prune that and remove it. Mm-hmm. It's served its purpose and it's no longer allowing for the overall growth of the plant. And in the same way, we have to trust God to prune us and prune the things out of our lives that are not serving us. And sometimes that can be hard. It can be hard to allow God, especially if it's old, you know, comfortable behaviors, old comfortable, you know, relationships or ways of being. And sometimes it's situations that genuinely bore like true fruit, that were really good leaves or branches or experiences or behaviors or situations or decisions. Like they were genuinely good for the time that they were in our lives or for the purpose that they served. But if it's no longer serving us, we have to trust God to prune those things. And it's counterintuitive, but when you do that, what you do is you produce, like if you cut off one branch, you get two. You guys can't see it, but behind me here is a really, really big monstera. And people ask me a lot about it, about how long I've had it. And I tell them how many times I've cut it and how many times I've shared leaves with people. And they just can't believe it. I mean, it's been over like easily over 20 or 25 leaves that I've cut off of this thing. And it's still just pretty massive. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, I just say, don't be afraid to cut it and prune it. Do not be afraid to do that and share that or just let it go if it's not serving it. Because what happens is you cut one branch off and you get two more. So if we allow God and we trust God to prune those things out of our life, what he's doing is he's just making room for the next thing. And he's just making room for the new growth that we can't even imagine yet. You never see that new leaf or that new branch when you're cutting off the old one, but you hope and you trust that it's for the good, that God will use it for the good. So that brings me to just a note about discipline in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 12, the author talks about discipline that we have to endure. And at the moment, it may seem painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Mm-hmm. And so I think of God as like the coolest bonsai tree artist guy ever, who just knows exactly like where to prune us to put us in that perfect shape that he has envisioned for us, and knows exactly when to do it and how to do it, because he has a vision that no one else has for you. And, if you can just trust him to do it, he is going to create something so beautiful beyond your wildest imagination. And ultimately, what that will do, of course, is produce fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to get more into in the next episode in part two. So I don't want to dig there too much, but I've gone on long enough. So I want to throw it back to you, Meridia, and hear kind of your thoughts.
Go back to the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. Which I love. Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Which I think, you know, connecting it to your idea of allowing God to prune things too, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so much of the wisdom of the book of Ecclesiastes. We've gotten to this point, and it's a truly arrogant point in human history, but it's not any more arrogant than any other generation, but it's just human folly. There's a lot we don't know. Mm-hmm. If you ask doctors about, there's people with like chromosome mutations, one for one in the world. They don't know anything about that. As much as we've progressed in medical science, by the same token, there's so much that we don't know, and that is applicable to everything. Mm-hmm. Right? But we don't. So you have to have the humility to look back over the scope of human history and realize that, like, one day our kids are going to call us backwards. Mm-hmm. One day, you know, people will chuckle when they look at our history books, mm-hmm. and when they document Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Like, I'm not proud to be a part of that history, but here we are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's embarrassing things, there's messy things, but God has eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. He's been here before time, and he will be here after time. He is, which is what Yahweh means. Like, I love it. He is. Who should you tell them that I am? I am. Like, I just am. He just is. Mm-hmm. That is the God that we serve. That is the only God. Everything else is a spirit. imitating and desiring to have the place of God without the qualifications. And, you know, allowing God to get rid of things in their time also goes back to the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything, for planting, for harvesting, for sowing, for pruning. Mm-hmm. There's a time for everything. And the thing about dead leaves, they also are just draining the nutrients. Like once the plant has done everything, you can leave a yellow leaf on the plant, but you're actually slowing the growth of the plant.
Right.
If you try and hold on to what's not there. And that's a beautiful thing about nature. Do you think the trees cry in autumn when they have to shed their leaves? They just know. Mm-hmm. And they do it. And like Jesus says, like, be like the sparrows. They don't worry. Mm-hmm. And so like when I'm having a really stressful day, I will look outside and bird watch. Mm-hmm. And the birds be chilling.
Yeah.
they just like, you know, it rains and then they use the puddles as baths. It rains and then the worms come up to the top of the soil. Mm-hmm. It doesn't rain and the birds are chilling. Like, you know, so it's this beauty and how all of creation teaches us something about our Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I love that. It's so true. I could talk about this for the rest of my life, honestly. This could be the thing that I just never stop talking about, but I know that that's not helpful or beneficial for anyone, honestly. But that's how excited I get about this, because it's so true. And the more we can get in touch with the truth and reality of the creation and realize that we are just another part of it. Yes, we're made in God's image, but we are just dust of the earth at the end of the day. And if we could just settle into that peace, and knowing that God, just as he orchestrated, the heavens and the earth and the birds of the air and the fish in the sea, and just as he provides for the birds and dresses the lilies of the field, that is how much more he will provide for us. So, that's another song I love, Gyra, is it Maverick City? Yeah. I love that song so much. It's just such a vibe because it's so true. And that's like been one of my go-to worship songs at the beginning of this year. But question, I just want to talk for a second. What is your, I think I know, but what is your favorite like flower? If you had to pick like, or maybe pick like a couple that if you could just grow those and like have them in bloom whenever you wanted to, because they make you happy.
Ironically, lilies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love lilies.
Yours are, is it calla lilies? Is yes, that what you like?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so unique too.
They're just so beautiful. But what's your favorite flower?
Right now it's daffodils because that's what's blooming.
Yeah.
But it's, no, it's honestly, oh, I'm so excited. I get so excited when the daffodils come up and they bloom. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if I had to pick one flower of all of them right now for me, at least in this stage of my life, that's a really tough one. It would probably be, it makes me sad because they only bloom for a really short period of time, but peonies. They're so pretty gorgeous. And they smell so good. They're such big flowers. I wish that they bloomed longer. I wish I had more in my garden, but I'm actually glad I said that. And I didn't even mean to do this, but peonies, fun fact about peonies, if you can grow peonies in their like good and established, they can last for 150 plus years. Like they're just like that. They have that longevity and that resilience. So I know like my great grandma had a peony bush at her house that now my aunt has some, and it's like thriving. So it's just one of those flowers that they last forever and ever and ever. And I love that because it, to me, kind of reminds me that sometimes we plant seeds that outlive us like well beyond our lifetimes, and I just think that's really encouraging too. But yeah, peonies are really pretty and smell really good, so I hope my little bare root peony that I planted last year will flower for me this year. I'm not really sure. Sometimes they say it takes like 2 or 3 years, but we're gonna be patient, and one day we will have peony blooms.
Your note on the beauty of the peony and its fleetingness, I think people and humans are like that. I think, you know, we've talked about the Apostle James, for instance. He was the first one martyred, in short, but he was among Jesus's like most inner circle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, and it, the Bible tells us that like our beauty, like our youth, right? Like the beauty you have when you're young, that's so fleeting. Mm-hmm. So I actually think that that's like really a beautiful picture, because sometimes the things that we love to look at the most are just like the most fleeting of all.
Mm-hmm. To appreciate when something is in bloom, and just to be able to appreciate the seasons of life, you know, whether it's a difficult or a short, or like a difficult or a good one, none of them last forever. So I feel like that's maybe is that a good place to end then for that? And I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you about if you're interested in this content specifically, if you have any insights about how nature has inspired you when it comes to God's word, or just appreciating our creator and worshiping when it comes to that. Please leave a comment down below, or share this episode with someone who you think might be encouraged by it. But we'd love to hear from you. So if you haven't already, feel free to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're watching on our podcast, please leave us a rating. We'd really appreciate it, and it really helps our podcast get out to more people. But until next time, beloved, we'll see you in part two, where we talk a little bit about fruits of the spirit, and I'm a nerd out then about grafting and stuff like that, but I'm really excited for it. But until then, beloved, you take care. We'll see you next time.
Bye.